this morning on this, the Lord's Day. And God is so good. Just real quick, let me say, I appreciate my wife being with me this morning. We've been married for 36 years. I know we don't look that old. You know, I think it's unfair. I'm going to ask the Lord, why did Brother Gordon get such a full head of hair when I didn't get hardly any at all when we get to heaven? But it's good to be here. It's good to have her. And she's been my helpmate over these years. And we have two sons. I worked about 15 years in the underground coal mines and finally got laid off and went full-time in the ministry, and probably would have not done that had I not got laid off. So I know what it's like to get in coal about this high on a daily basis, but I also know what it's like to get in coal about this high. And I'd rather much work in this height than this height. And I know you probably said, well, would you rather stand up? But it's a whole lot harder. You got to climb up on everything to hang cables and all that kind of stuff. But it's good to be in the Lord's house. And I know y'all worried about fried chicken this morning, so I won't preach too long. Amen. Maybe I'm the one that's worried about fried chicken. Is there any fried chicken here this today? Oh my, we may have to go to KFC. I don't know. Praise the Lord. But if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Zechariah chapter 4. I'll try to preach, and if you'll help me, we'll move this thing along, and we'll get in here and have church and have some fellowship and take the rest of the day off and try to get some rest and relaxation and get back at it Monday morning. Amen. If you're at Zechariah chapter 4, say amen. Let's read at verse 1, and let's read all the way down to verse number 7. Said, "And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me, as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick of all gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and one on the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it." Let's read verse 6 one more time. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." Would you stretch one hand toward heaven and one hand towards me, and let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the worship, God, that has already taken place in this house of worship, God. We thank you for the wonderful songs, the tithes and offerings that were given, God. The people that have labored and worked, Father God, and came out here upon this, the Lord's Day, to worship in spirit and in truth, God. And I pray, Lord, that you just touch me and bless me for the next few moments of time, and we'll praise you and give you the glory. And all the church says, amen. I want to take a thought from that verse 6, by my spirit, amen. And I believe if we look at the historical context of this passage of scripture here, we'll find out that Zerubbabel was one of the people who led the first of the captivities back to Jerusalem, amen. And they were doing a work, but somewhere in the process of time, that work had ceased and was not completed. And it was coming to that point of time that the work needed to be finished, amen. Can I tell you today that there's still plenty of work to be done? There's still plenty of things that need to be done. And if God has called you and placed a calling upon your life, you need to be about the Father's business. And those that may not have a specific calling, you need to get behind those and finish the work, amen. Because I believe as we can look at the times, we realize and understand and know that Jesus is soon coming, amen. But we find out here that Zerubbabel, here in Jerusalem, amen. You know, Brother Gordon was talking about how that sometimes we don't have friends as pastors and ministers. You know, sometimes when we see our people get slack on the Lord and we see them get discouraged and they don't want to help and they don't want to work and they don't want to labor, we kindly settle into that mode where we're just going to be keepers of the aquarium. But when I see my people get excited, that enthuses me and causes me want to do more for the Lord, because when true, we cannot do it by ourselves. It takes an army, amen. It takes everybody doing their part here. And as I find out, Zerubbabel's name means that God remembers, amen, and that he's the governor of Israel, and he's writing to encourage those that have returned from exile. Now, could you imagine them coming home and them seeing all the rubble and all the things that have been torn down and destroyed, and probably thinking, well, we'll never see Solomon's temple again. And I think so many times, Brother Gordon, that some people, well, I remember the church how it used to be and how we used to do things, but can I tell you, the culture has changed and it's shifted, amen. We don't change the message, amen. We don't change the word of God, but we do have to change the method sometimes to get the point across or whatever. But here they are, they're weak and they're discouraged, and he's trying to motivate them to rebuild the temple, amen. And I want you to realize that a lot of these people here had never seen that temple, because they had been born in captivity, and now they have arrived back here in the homeland. They have never seen that. Maybe they've only heard stories of that. But Zerubbabel wants to give them a hope and a future, amen. And the Lord wants to eight spiritual truths here in this text this morning. And first of all, the Bible tells you and I, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, he said, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You see, it's his church, amen. When he was here, he borrowed a donkey. He borrowed a tomb, amen. But he said the only thing that he called his, Brother Gordon, was my church, amen. And I want you to realize we're in a beautiful building today, but you are the church, amen. And it is you that God is building. He asked Peter this question. He said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And he said, "Well, some says that you're Elijah, some says you're Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets." But he said, "Peter, who do you say that I am?" He said, "Thou art the Christ." And Jesus said, "Upon this principle, the anointed one, that I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Amen. Can I tell you, the church is not going down today, but the church is going up. Amen. And whatever comes against a church people today, it's going to fall by the wayside. You're more than an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who loves us. But he sees this golden lampstand here. I want you to realize that Zerubbabel, amen, he was spiritually asleep like so many people are today, not being able to discern what God wants to do. But the Bible tells you and I that the sons of Issachar discerned the times and seasons, amen, and they knew what to do. But so many people today are spiritually asleep, just like Zerubbabel here, amen. And the angel comes and gives him this vision, amen, of this golden lampstand that has a bowl of oil on top of it, a representation of the Spirit of God that's flowing down through those pipes. Let me tell you, I see so many people trying to do the work of the Lord, and I have been there even myself, amen, finding myself trying to do it in my own strength, in my own might. But can I tell you, we'll never achieve, we'll never get the work of God done through all of the means today, but it'll be through and by the Spirit of God today. We need the Spirit of God. And Sister Gordon was singing that song about the Spirit of God. We do need that comforter. We do need that power in our life today. And he's also said that there was two olive trees on the either side of that lamp, talking about Joshua and Zerubbabel, amen. But look, he says, "I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let me tell you, whatever comes against you today, whatever crops up, amen, you need to realize that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus said, "I overcome overcome the world, and you will overcome the world today too. Why? Because there's somebody that lives down on the inside of us that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. Amen. You see, there was work to be done, and there's work to be done here at Ravenna. Amen. And I know that Brother Gordon is doing the best job that he possibly can do. And I look at you people, I know that you are here to help and to labor and to work. Amen. And I know that Brother Gordon, if Jamboree was open, I'm sure that they would welcome him back. He had many successful years there at Jamboree. The church grew under his leadership by the help and by the grace of God. But what God's servant had started, God was going to finish. Amen. You see, Zerubbabel had overseen the foundation of the work, and he would also oversee the completion of that work. Amen. Why? Because the Bible said in Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We call this homecoming Sunday. Amen. Maybe you're here. Maybe you used to work and labor here at the Ravenna Church of God. Maybe you used to teach Sunday school, or maybe you was a good loyal member to the church here, but somewhere along the way, amen, you got away from God. Can I tell you, today is your day. You need to get back in here. You need to get back to work. Amen. You need to pick up right where you left off. Why? Because God said, if I begun a work in you, I'm able to complete it to that day. Amen. Let me tell you, when you've got God on your side, he'll help you all the way to the end. Amen. It's you and I that fail God, just like the people here. They had lost interest in the work of God. They had seen all that was going on around them. And when I, even as a pastor, look around today and I see what's coming up, and I'm wondering, God, is there any future? Amen. But when I see young people here, I say, God, there is a future. Amen. There is a hope. Amen. Why? Because he said there is a hope to give you an expected end. Amen. Look what Acts chapter 20 verse 24 says. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You know what? We don't need to let anything hinder us. Now, sometimes we let discouragement creep in. We let defeat creep in. We let pain and suffering and sickness creep in, and it gets us down. It gets us discouraged and defeated. Amen. But Paul here said, none of these things move me. He said, what can separate me from the love of God? Neither height nor depth, nor things past or present, can separate me from the love of God. You're more than an overcomer, but it'll not be through your own power. It'll not be through your own mind or your own strength, but it will be through the power of Almighty God. Verse 9 says, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Amen. I remember as a young boy, I used to drive by this house, and I seen that they had started building this house, and it, somewhere along the way, I don't know if the funds run out. It wasn't in our neighborhood. It was probably about 30 miles from where I live at, because to get to town, you got to, from where I'm at, to get to a town where there's a Walmart, you got to drive about 35 miles. Amen. So that's where I live at, way from Walmart. Brother and Sister Gordon knows that. But driving by that house, I would see that house sit there, and I don't know if the funds dried up, if the person that started building it died or whatever. I don't know the situation. Amen. But later on in years, I began to think about, you know, did they run out of money? Didn't they have enough to finish it, enough to build it? But can I tell you, God will provide everything that you need to build the house of God, to build build the kingdom of God. Amen. And later on in years, I seen that. I don't know if somebody purchased it, but now it's a beautiful home where people reside and live in there. But he said people would know that the Lord has sent the Messiah. Amen. You see, that promise reminds us that God still works through his people. Amen. You see, we are the hands of the Lord. Amen. We are the footsteps of God. We are his body. Amen. We are his workmanship. We are the people of God. And I just want to be the glove that we're in, that he puts his hand, amen, and do what God wants me to do. But can I tell you today, it's not going to be by might nor by our power, but it's going to be by the Spirit of God. Amen. You see, he said, Zerubbabel, you started this work and you're going to finish it. Amen. Back to that story, I don't know if the person who started building that house was the one that completed that house, but can I tell you, when God ordains a work and he starts a work, amen, there ain't no devil in hell, there ain't no lie, amen, can stop what God is about to do. Amen. But God wants to use you and I in this kingdom, in this church, in this community right here, to be a city that is set on a hill. Look what verse 10 said, the work would be executed under the most strenuous circumstances. Amen. He said, for who hath despised the day of small things? Amen. I don't know how old Ravenna Church is here, when it was first started, amen, when the first block was laid or whatever. He said, for they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With these seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the earth. Amen. You see, despise not small beginnings. Amen. You see, sometimes God takes a little something other. He'll take two fish and five loaves. Amen. And he'll feed 5,000, Brother Gordon, and then pick up 12 baskets of fragments thereof. Let me tell you, there's much in it. God is in the little. When he's in it, it is much more than what we're able to look at. So don't let the enemy look at you and tell you that you'll never mount to anything. We've got a generation that's been told that they'll never mount to a hill of beans, like we say in the mountains, amen. But it's not who they say you are, but it's who God the Father says you are. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a peculiar person. You are the people of God. You are the family of God today. Amen. Praise God. I feel his presence in here. You see, they were those that were ridiculing, were comparing it to Solomon's temple. We know all about Solomon's temple. It was one of the beautiful, most beautiful temples ever built, of gold. Nothing like it. Nothing could compare to it in this day and hour that you and I live in. In fact, they were brought so many offerings, Brother Gordon, they finally had to say, just turn it off. I've never had to say that. Huh? I never had to say you've brought enough. But think about that. But you know what? We compare. We compete. Well, if we done it like the church down the road, I'm glad for what the church does down the road. But I'm glad for what God does in my midst. It may not look like that. It may not sound like that. But I'm glad for what God does here. Amen. You see, their critics would know that it was a work that was inspired by God and carried out by God. Because it says there, for who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. Amen. You see, that number seven is a completeness, because God worked 6 days in creating the earth and the fullness thereof. But on the seventh day, he rested. Amen. I found out that we're going to work till Jesus comes, and then we're going to rest when we get over there to heaven. Amen. Sometimes I tell my people, I usually give them the summer months off. And I tell them we can rest when we die, amen. And some of them just gives me that strange tone look, amen. But it's the truth, amen. We'll work till Jesus comes, amen. And then we'll cease from our labors and we'll enter in into the joy of the Lord. But can I tell you, the people here had got discouraged, amen. I come by to tell you, don't get discouraged by what you see on the news. Don't get discouraged by what you hear in the community, amen. Keep your focus upon the Lord, because if God be for you, who can be against you? You see, the people lost heart here to do God's work and to complete the task. But now God was stirring up Zerubbabel to tell the people, it's time to get to moving. Amen. It's time to lay your hands back to the plow. Let me tell you, summer is over. The harvest is past. Amen. And yet there are some folks that are not saved. And that's what you and I need to be doing in this day and hour, is be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, and tell people, hey, you need the Lord. Don't just pick and choose. Amen. I got a young man in my church. Amen. A few months ago, I took him all the way to North Carolina to drop him off to a rehab center. He stayed for about 6 or 7 days, got saved in a tent revival. Amen. Come back to church. Amen. After he got saved down there and come back, and now he's standing behind this pulpit proclaiming what the good news of the Lord has done in his life. I'm talking about a man that had a beautiful log home, that's got a wife and 3 beautiful kids. Amen. But it was all lost. Amen. He lost his mind and cards. But can I tell you, as of today, amen, he has got his mind and cards back. He passed the drug test. Amen. Got reinstated and is working every day and rebuilding. Amen. Sometimes you lose everything you got to get down on the rock. Amen. To look up and know that my Redeemer liveth. Amen. And God, it may have took all of that, amen, to get him about where he needs to be. But I'm telling you, don't let it come to that you get to where you need to work for the Lord today. By my spirit, amen. You can't come against the work of God. You see, the people would rejoice seeing the plumb line was in the hand of Zerubbabel. Amen. In other words, what he was saying, that he would receive encouragement along the way. There is nothing like encouragement. Sometimes my refrigerator is decorated, not with my art, but with my grandkids' art. Huh? And even when it don't look the cutest and when it don't look the prettiest, I still tell them, that is beautiful. And you know what? I see those little hands begin. You know what I'm talking about, some of you. Even your children. You see those little hands begin to look, and they'll bring it to you and say, they call me Daddy Paul. They say, Daddy Paul, what does this look like? How does this look? I say, honey, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And you know what? That encourages him. And you know what? When you encourage your pastor, when you encourage the first lady, amen, and then when you encourage one another, and when you encourage people when they get behind this pulpit to sing or to minister, amen, or they're teaching a Sunday school class, amen, it does something to them. It begins to build their faith and their self-esteem, amen. It begins to lift them up, and we need to get back to that as a church of God, to encourage one another. Sometimes you don't have, sometimes a pastor don't have anybody to encourage. You may think he's so close to God that he just falls out of heaven. I've not had an angel to visit me, but I'm open to it. Come on. Verse 6 tells you and I. It says in verse 6, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I can't drive that home enough tonight. The Lord would equip Zerubbabel for service, amen. He talks about that bowl where that oil is coming down, amen. You see, Zerubbabel needed encouragement because the work had ceased, amen. You see, when I see my people stop working, then I want to stop. I've become one of those, I don't know if anybody's got aquariums in here or not, but I used to have one. That thing, or my kid used to have one. That thing liked to work me death. It was about a 50-gallon. And I couldn't stand it when it got dirty. But you know what? There's a lot of work to that. But when I see my church folk begin to cease to work, then I want to be a keeper of the aquarium. Let's just put it on cruise control. Let's put it on autopilot and just let it roll. And then somebody say, why don't we do this anymore? And I'm like, what are you waiting on? Huh? If the Lord spoke to you, I'll encourage you to do it. Amen. Help me in here. Amen. the people had given up because of tremendous political pressure. Don't we see that today? The situation had disheartened the leaders, including Zerubbabel. Amen. Sadly, the people had given up on bringing the project to close. I'm trying to get into a project right now at church. I'm just trying to get it started. Ain't trying to get it to come to a close, Sister Perkins, just yet, amen. But I'm having trouble getting it off the ground. Some people's just not wanting to move along with it, but I'm trying to stir them up. In fact, I left them some information this morning for one of my guys to get back to them. But God will equip you. God will equip you when He calls you. You know, sometimes we say, well, Lord, I'm like Moses. I can't really talk that plain. I got a speech impediment. God says, that's no excuse. I'll give you Aaron. Huh? Sometimes we look at the picture and say, there's no way that I can get that done. But can I remind you, it's not you. It's not in your might. It's not in your ability. But it's in your availability this morning. That if you'll give it to God, God will do it. That's for somebody in here this morning. I felt that go to somebody. If you'll just be available, God will do the rest. Amen. People will stand back and look and say, "Is not that Jesus, the son, the carpenter's son from Nazareth, amen? Is that not a brother and so-and-so's son or daughter from up the road or down the road down here, amen?" I don't know what direction, up and down here this morning. But can I tell you, they may look and say, well, that's a nobody. But can I tell you, I'm a nobody this morning trying to tell everybody about a somebody this morning. Listen, verse 7 this morning said, I love verse 7. He said, "Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain and shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it." Look at that mountain. I told you, I know what mountains are. You've got mountains or hills down here, but you got a lot of open area. We don't have that back where I'm from unless you get up on top of the mountain where the strip mining is at. But you know what? He said, old mountain. You know what he's talking about there? He's talking about obstacles. Amen. He said, Zerubbabel, he said, there's no obstacle that you are facing right now. These young people may not want to close the workout. They may not want to finish the workout. He said, but that mountain's going to come. What did the Bible tell you and I? He said, if we have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, we could say to this mountain, be thou moved and be cast into yonder sea, and it would go. Can I tell you, if you just got a little bit of faith, you can tell that mountain to get out of your way. You can tell those obstacles to get out of your way. Whatever is trying to hinder you, whatever is trying to stop you, whatever is trying to stop Ravenna Church of God from moving forward, amen, I come to tell you today, it cannot stand in the presence of God, because God is about to remove every political pressure, amen. He's about to remove every obstacle, every lie that's been told, every bit of doubt, amen, that's come against you from doing what God has called you to do. God said, "Who art thou, O mountain?" He not only said that's come against Zerubbabel, he's telling you all these obstacles will be removed. Amen. That's what Matthew chapter 21 verse 21 said. Jesus answered and said unto them, I just quote this, "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith," we got any people's got any faith in here? If you just got a little bit, and you can join it to your neighbor, and your neighbor can join it to your neighbor. I remember I told this at church on several occasions. We were needing a piano at church. My wife would say I'm not too patient, and she's probably right in a lot of ways. But we had this old park at church where we just dropped quarters in, and that thing had been in the closet or somewhere, and I drug that thing out one day. And I set that up and I said, "We're going to start collecting quarters to buy a piano with." I'm thinking we give about $7,000 for us. I'm not sure. We bought it in Lexington. Had this one lady come up. She sort of had that grin, Sister Gordon. She said, and it was a doubtful grin, "It's going to take a lot of quarters to pay for that piano." I was so hoping she'd said, "Brother, I'm with you. I'm with you. We're going to trust God that there's going to be enough quarters for this. I needed some encouragement. I didn't need that grin of doubt. But did you know that I went and got that piano, and in 4 months it was paid off? Huh? Despise not small beginnings. The bread man came through one day. He said, here's a quarter. This was back several years ago. To go on to buy the first brick, to brick that church over there. Didn't look like much, Brother Gordon. But can I tell you, the church is bricked? Huh? Because you know what God says? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. No obstacle. Even when you pastor sheep that has that doubtful grin on their face, amen. You got to love them still yet, amen. And try to get them to where they need to go. I got to hurry here, though. I don't want that chicken to get cold this morning, amen. Hallelujah. The Lord assured Zerubbabel that the work would be completed under him. He said, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? He said, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings and cryings, grace, grace unto it. Amen. Can I tell you, he was telling Zerubbabel, he said, you laid the first stone. He said, you're going to lay the last stone. Brother Gordon, you started to work here when you came here. And whatever God put in your heart to do, you're going to finish that work. And when God's done with you, it'll be done. It'll be finished. Amen. But God's called you folks alongside him to help him every step of the way. You see, when we begin to build, the Bible says that Jesus is that chief cornerstone. He said, no other stone can any man lay than that which has already been laid. He said, but take heed how you build thereon. Amen. But you know what? That cornerstone was laid a long time ago, and we're going to finish the work, and we're going to keep working, amen. I'm telling you, I don't know this for a fact, amen, but I do believe that there's people living today that's going to see the return of the Lord. I believe that it's that close. I believe that things are winding up. You said, Pastor Harold, I've heard that ever since I was a little kid, amen. But you know what he told Peter? He said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, amen, as some men count slackness, but his long suffering to us were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. You see, you've got family out there that's still lost, and you're still praying for them and saying, Jesus, don't come back yet. I've got a son that needs to get saved. I got a daughter that needs to get saved. Amen. And not only did he tell him that he would finish the work, he said, but it was going to be a joyous occasion. Amen. Can I tell you, there is joy in work for God, amen. You know, sometimes I think sometimes, Brother Gordon, it would be so much easier, amen, to go back to the coal mine and work 12 hours shifts, amen, and leave the job there and come home and not have to worry about people's souls or anything like that. But you see, that's not what God called me to do. Yes, I labored and worked there, but I remember if the Lord ever spoke to me, I got out on the outside of the coal mine at this particular time, amen, and I was working second shift, and I hated second and third shift. No, I was on third shift at that particular time, because I'm telling you, I don't sleep. I believe the Lord made the night time for men to sleep in, amen, the day to work, amen. And I could be a bear. I'm just being honest with you, because I don't sleep well during the day. But anyway, I was walking out there that night, amen, about 2 o'clock. Had an easy job. Just had to show up, do a little bit of shoveling, amen, and listen to see if the guys inside needed anything brought in or anything like that. Just answer the phone or whatever needed to be done. Had a easy, real easy job. Didn't make the best money, but anyway, that's beside the point. But I was walking out there to shovel that old belt head one night where it's just like old black soup, amen, from the coal dust and water being mixed together. But the Lord said, you will not be doing this any much longer, amen, and not
long after that, the mind shut down. I went to my church folk and I went full time. At that time, let me tell you, it's some of the sweetest misery for a pastor to ever be in. But let me tell you, when you see somebody walk down that aisle, you realize it is worth it then, Brother Gordon. You realize that you know that God has called you to do. It's foolishness today for me to stand up here and preach like this and sweat. Amen. But you know what God said? He said he chose the foolishness of preaching. Amen. To say, man, I've got to hurry. Amen. The Lord promised that the hands of Zerubbabel would finish this work. Amen. And I love verse number 10. For it said it like this. I'm going to read it one more time. He said, for who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With these seven are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Amen. You see, that eyes represented the completion of God, that God was watching the work. You think God don't look down each and every day and he sees sometimes with disgust of what's going on in the world that he created, and when he called it all good? But you know what? God's work is the best work, Brother Gordon, and he is watching what we do from day to day, from hour to hour. He sees everything that we do for God. But can I tell you, it's not going to be in your might, it's not going to be in your power, but it's going to be by his Spirit. Lord, send the Holy Ghost today. Let him fall down on us and equip us one more time for a great revival, for a great outpouring, for a great move of God in the house and in the church of God today, in my life, in your life. Like the song says, oh Lord, send the power just now, Lord. Now, I've been traveling too long in my own strength. I'm getting weak. I'm getting tired. I'm getting weary. But there's something about it when God allows the Holy Ghost to come down upon you and renew your strength, amen, and to shake you and to set you right again, amen. And you say, God, I'm ready to go for the fight one more time. I'm ready to teach one more class. I'm ready to preach one more message. I'm ready to go to church one more time. I'm ready to fight the enemy one more time. Woo, glory to God. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. I thank the Lord gave us the Comforter, amen, because he knew that along the way we were going to need that Comforter. A lot of people's taking the Holy Ghost out of the equivalent today, but can I tell you, I still need the power. I still need his Spirit, amen. I still need his touch every day. You know what he told us? He said, it's expedient for you that I go away. Sister Gordon sang the song as they come to the music this morning. He said, it's expedient for you. It's to your benefit that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. He said, but I pray to the Father that he sent you another Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. Amen. We still need the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost today to equip us to do a work for God. Too many people today are trying to do it in themselves, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Too many people trying to do it with a show. Too many people trying to do it with entertainment. You know the only problem with that? And I know you folks ain't like that. When you try to do it with entertainment, when the entertainment begins to dull them, they'll go somewhere else for the next greater entertainment. But I know you folks this morning, just by being here, just by your worship, just by your love for God to come out here on this Sunday evening, Sunday morning, afternoon, that you love God. But Brother Gordon, I still need the power. I'm on one of the licensing boards, and I don't say that in a bragful way. It doesn't pay anything either. I just wanted to get that out of the way. But our overseers ask us, ask the ministers that are coming up, what is the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost? You know why, Brother Gordon? Because so many people has got to the point that they feel like they don't need Him no more. But I need Him, church. I can't run this race in my own. I cannot run this race in my own. He said He's the paraclete, the one that's called alongside to help. My wife has been with me. We've been married for 36 years, been in ministry for 23. Been pastoring for 23, been in ministry for a lot longer than that. She's my helpmate. And she's there to encourage me. It seems like when I'm discouraged, she can encourage me. When she's discouraged, I can encourage her. But then there's some times that only He can encourage us. If you're able, I'd like for you to stand all over the house this morning. And I want you to have a prayer with me. First and foremost, what I'd like to see here today, if there's somebody that used to love God, used to have a fire and a zeal, used to worship right here in the altars of the Ravenna Church of God. If you're here, you see, I don't know nobody here other than a handful of people. But you've come to this church today because one of the members has invited you, the pastor and his wife's invited you. But you used to worship in these altars. And somewhere along the way, you stopped working for God. You just got busy. You got caught up in life. And I'm not here to put you down because I know it's easily done. I see it time and time again. But today's the day you need to come home. Today's the day you need to come down that aisle. Brother Gordon told me just be at home and I'm just doing what I do at my church. Today, you just need to walk down that aisle and say, God, I feel the Holy Ghost, church. And say, God, I'm giving it all to You today. I'm coming back to Father's house. You might say, Brother Lane, how will I be received? Look at what the prodigal did. The father waited every day for the prodigal to come home. He finally came to himself. Said, I'm going back to Father's house. There's food there to eat. I'm tired of living in the world. I'm tired of feeding the hogs and eating the leftovers. I'm going back to Father's house today. And you know what Father will do? He'll do what any good dad would do. He'll ask you no questions. He'll just be thrilled that you're home. He'll go get the robe and put on you. He'll get your ring back out because you know the Bible says He was married to the backslider. He'll get that robe and He'll tell him, He said, hey, set another place at the table. Brother Brad was talking about that earlier in his song. There's a table spread where the saints of God are fed. I know that wasn't his song, but he talked about that table. Come to the table this morning. If you're here, why don't you come right now as they sing? If you're here and you don't know Jesus and you're away from Him, maybe you've never known Him in the full pardon of your sins, why don't you come right now? Why don't you come? Why don't you come? This altar's open, friend. This altar's open, friend. Why don't you come? If you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, this altar's open, friend. He's here for you today. You'll not do it in your own power, in your own might, but it'll be by His Spirit. Brother Gordon, if you would come this morning. Hallelujah. Can we just lift up holy hands without wrath and doubt, and let's just worship Him. Let's just magnify Him. Let's just give Him some praise this morning. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. Thank You for Your mercy, God. Hallelujah. This altar's open, friend.